Welcome back. In this lesson, we're doing something that separates I have a sick 16-bar loop from this is an actual drum and bass tune. The goal is modern control with vintage tone, using Ableton Live's comping workflow. So instead of trying to nail the perfect pattern in one take, we're going to do what great producers do all the time, generate a ton of material fast, then curate it, record multiple short passes, comp the best moments into one performance per track. Then commit to audio so you can arrange quickly and add that printed, slightly tapish movement without losing low-end discipline. By the end, you'll have a rolling DNB sketch, about 1:45 to 2:30, with an intro, a proper drop, a mid-variation, a second drop, and an outro. And more importantly, you'll have a repeatable workflow you can use every session. All right, let's set up the session for speed. Set your tempo around 170 to 175 BPM. Let's pick 172. Now create a simple project structure using groups, drums, bass, music, effects, and optionally vocal. This isn't about being neat for its own sake. It's about being able to print, duplicate, and arrange in big confident moves later. Next, add a global groove if you like, but keep it subtle. Drum and bass needs precision. A little swing can add vibe, but too much and it just gets sloppy. Also, in your preferences, turn auto warp long samples off. That prevents weird warping on recorded or imported takes. And make sure take lanes are visible, because we're leaning on comping. Now we build what I call the sandbox loop, a dependable 16-bar section, where you can perform variations without thinking about arrangement yet. Go to Arrangement View, set a 16-bar loop starting at bar 1, rough in a core beat. You can do this with drum rack, with a break, or a hybrid. If you want a classic skeleton, kicks around 1.1 and 1.3 with some ghost variations, and snares on 2 and 4. Don't over-design it yet. We're making a canvas. Then rough in a bass patch. Operator and wavetable are perfect. Keep it as two layers in your mind. A clean mono sub, and a mid-reese layer for character. That two-layer discipline is where modern control starts. Now the fun part. Takes. We're going to record multiple passes like we're building our own mini sample library inside the project. First, breaks and tops as audio. Create an audio track called Break Takes. Drop in a break sample and warp it tight. Use beats mode. Preserve transients and keep the envelope pretty tight, around 0 to 10. Complex Pro is usually overkill for breaks and can smear the bite. We want snap. On that break track, put a little controllable color. Drum bus, a saturator with soft clip-on, and a EQ8. Think of this chain as tighten, thicken and tidy. High pass around 30 to 50 Hz to keep junk out of the subs, and if it's crispy in a bad way, tame a bit around 6 to 10k. Now record 5 to 10 takes. And when I say takes, I mean perform variations, different slice patterns, occasional reverse hits, stutters for a moment, and especially fills in bars 15 and 16. Don't stop to edit. Don't chase perfect. Capture energy first, because comping is where you get picky. Next, bass takes as MIDI. Make a MIDI track called Bass Takes. Put an instrument rack on it with two chains. Sub on operator, just a sign. Mono, clean. Reese on wavetable, two detuned saws. Low pass filtered. Then some light group processing. A touch of saturation. Glue compressor barely doing 1 or 2 dB, and a EQ8 to keep low mids from becoming a swamp. Also, make sure your sub stays mono. If you need it, put utility on the sub and keep width at 0. Now record multiple bass takes. Here's the rule that makes comping easier. Change rhythm every 4 bars. Think in phrases. Bars 1 to 4 is a statement, 5 to 8 is an answer, 9 to 12 is a higher energy variation, 13 to 16 is pre-drop tension. Even though we're not arranging yet, we're already thinking like arrangers. And when you're recording bass, don't only change notes. Change note length. That's huge in DNB. Shorter notes feel tighter and techier. Longer notes feel heavier and more rolling. If you have pitch bends or automation ideas, record them as part of your takes, but keep the sub stable. If you're going to add warble or drift later, that goes on the mid layer, not the sub. Third, hook or stabs. Create a stab or chord track, MIDI or audio, whatever suits your sound. Record 5 to 8 takes, different rhythms, inversions, filter openings. Same idea, we're generating options. Quick coach note before we comp, create a hierarchy. Decide what's allowed to change often, and what stays stable. In drum and bass, your anchor is usually the kick and snare timing, or the main break identity. Your decorators are hats, percussion, fills, little edits. A really solid rule is one anchor plus two decorators per 16 bars. If everything is changing, nothing feels like a groove anymore. Another speed trick. energy labeling. Before you even listen, drop locators across the 16 bars that say low, medium, high, and pre-drop. Now when you audition takes, you're not searching for the best take, you're searching for the right energy for this section. It turns comping from an emotional decision into a practical one. Okay, comping time. On each recorded track, right-click and show take lanes. Now audition quickly. Don't sit in solo mode for 20 minutes. Your job is to build a best of performance across the 16 bars by selecting sections from different takes. For drums and breaks, be careful here. It's very tempting to comp in every cool stutter and reverse. But D&B role depends on identity. If you do too many micro changes, you get a Frankenstein comp, technically interesting, but it stops feeling like a real drummer, a real loop, a real pocket. So comp with structure. Bars 1 to 4, establish groove, minimal edits. Bars 5 to 8, variation 1. Maybe a little extra hat density or a ghost movement. Bars 9 to 12, variation 2. More aggressive fill moments or extra bass movement. Bars 13 to 16, pre-drop tension. This is where the busy bits belong. And anytime you stitch audio takes, add micro crossfades. 2 to 8 milliseconds is enough. If there's a click, it's usually a zero crossing issue where the saturation tail doesn't match. A tiny fade fixes most of it and keeps your comp sounding intentional. Now we commit. This is the turning point where you go from infinite options to I'm making a record. For bass and stabs, freeze and flatten, or resample to new audio tracks. Make bass print and music print. Why print? Because audio is faster to arrange, easier to chop, and it encourages decision making. Also, vintage tone often comes from printing through a colored chain, and then treating it like material, not like a synth preset you tweak forever. Here's another pro workflow move. Do one commit pass per group. When your drums feel right, resample or print the drum bus to a drums print track. Keep the original drums group muted as an undo buffer, but build your arrangement mostly with the print. It speeds up decisions and adds cohesion, because now your drums are one performed piece of audio with shared glue. Now, vintage movement, tastefully. We want character, not mod. On your printed audio, pick one or two movement tools. Echo is great for dubby tails. Use an eighth or quarter note. Low feedback. Filter out lows below about 200 Hz, and tame highs above 6 to 8K. Add a little modulation for motion. Pedal can add subtle drive, but keep it low. Auto filter with a very slow LFO can add drift without sounding like an effect. Redux can add a tiny bit of grit, but you're aiming for texture, not destruction. If you want that analog bright into saturation feel, do this. A gentle EQ boost before saturation, like a small shelf around 8 to 10K or a presence bump around 2 to 4K, then saturate, then EQ after to pull back harshness. That mimics how some analog chains create harmonics. And if you want wow and flutter vibes, do not modulate the sub. Blitz your bass, keep sub stable, add drift only on the mid-res using subtle chorus or tiny filter LFO. Or a tiny fine pitch movement with shifter. The second your sub starts wobbling in pitch, the low end stops feeling modern. Now we arrange using blocks and call and response. Take your 16 bar comp and duplicate it out. A reliable template is intro 16 to 32 bars, drop 1, 32 bars, mid 16 bars, drop 2, 32 bars, outro 16 to 32 bars. Start by building drop 1 and drop 2 from the same 16 bar block duplicated. Then for drop 2, commit to one major change. 1, not 5. Maybe it's an alternate bass phrase. Maybe it's a different break layer. Maybe the stab rhythm shifts. Maybe you add a counter percussion. The point is coherence. Constraint makes it feel like a track, not a playlist of ideas. Now add DJ logic even if you're not making DJ tools. It makes everything land harder. In the last 8 bars of the intro, gradually remove low end. In the first 8 bars of the drop, keep it plain so the groove introduces itself. Then bars 9 to 16, introduce your first big variation. And near the end of the drop, like bars 25 to 32, hit the biggest fill or turn around to launch the next section. And don't underestimate pre-drop negative space. Remove something essential for half a bar or a full bar, kill hats for a bar, mute the sub for 2 beats, or hard gate the res tail right before the downbeat. Silence and subtraction are weapons. Automation lanes that matter in D&B. Automate drum bus drive slightly into drops. Filter cutoff opening from intro into drop. Reverb sends on snare fills at the end of phrases. And tiny gain differences like half a dB lift on bass in drop 2. Tiny moves read as bigger energy because the groove is so consistent. Now transitions, because D&B lives and dies on them. Every 8 or 16 bars, Give us a signpost, a one-bar drum fill, a reversed break slice fading into an impact, a reverb throw on the last snare, where the reverb looms, then hard cuts on the downbeat of the drop, for a take-stop illusion. Print a short hit to audio, warp it, automate transpose down over half a bar to a bar, and fade out with utility. It's simple, and it works if you use it sparingly. If you're making impacts, keep them clean. High pass a necessary sub-rumble below 30 Hz, saturate a little with soft clip, and use a short to medium reverb with a low cut inside the reverb, so it doesn't cloud the kick. Now tighten the groove without killing it. Sidechain your bass group to the kick, or kick and snare. Keep it controlled. Ratio 2 to 1 up to 4 to 1. Fast attack. Release around 50 to 120 milliseconds depending on the groove, and aim for 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction. You're creating space, not pumping for style. Unless that's specifically your aesthetic. On the drums group, add glue compressor with a slowish attack. Auto release. 2 to 1 ratio and only 1 to 2 dB of reduction. Optional gentle limiter for safety, not loudness. The goal is to round the transient needle a bit like tape, not flatten the groove. Before we wrap, common mistakes to avoid. Don't comp too many cool moments. Pick a main vibe and sprinkle variation. Don't forget to label sections with locators, or your arrangement becomes a copy-paste maze. Don't overwarp breaks until they go dull. Keep edits minimal and preserve transients. Don't confuse vintage tone with muddy low mids. Vintage is texture and movement with control. And if your drop doesn't feel like a drop, it's usually because you didn't remove enough right before it. Let's lock this in with a practice run. Set 172 BPM. Create a 16-bar loop. Record 6 takes of break and tops, 6 takes of bass MIDI, 4 takes of stabs. Comp each into a final 16-bar performance. Print bass and stabs to audio. Then build a simple 64-bar arrangement. 16 intro, 32 drop, 16 outro. Add one fill every 8 bars, and one automation rise into the drop, like filter opening or drive increasing. This audio version is shortened for playback.